Okay, so good morning from Munich. I would like to welcome you cordially to our telephone conference on the results of the first quarter. As we already presented the headlines for the figures in the framework of our AGM, it might not be as exciting as other times, but I think I can give you more information and background on the figures today in order to show that Allianz is on a very positive development path with a 2.9 billion operating profit, and I use for that the analyst press conference that you all have. I'm on page 3. So with 2.9 billion euros, we've gone quite a bit above the previous year's result. We had growth in all segments, which led to revenues growth of 2.5%, and our shareholders' net income is indeed lower than in the previous year, lower by 15%. But last year we had realized price gains to a significant amount in the first quarter, so the first segment last year was over proportionally high, and you have to see how it compares to the annual results, the quarterly results. And if we look at the 1.8 billion of, if we compare this to the full year's result 2016, you can see that compared to that, we are on a very positive development looking at the quarterly result if we're able to maintain this level. Now we'll get, or before I get into the details of the individual segments, I would like to talk a little bit about our solvency ratio, which you can find on page 5. 212 percentage points is within our bandwidth of 180 to 220%, so within this bandwidth, it's a very strong solvency ratio, especially as we had the 3 billion euro share buyback. We're still executing this buyback. We haven't even bought back or haven't even used half of the 3 billion, but we already have the full 3 billion taken out of our solvency calculations. What does this mean, the 3 billion? If you added them back again, we came up with 221%, so even slightly above our corridor, above the 220, which we set as the upper end of our bandwidth, which shows that solvency right now is truly the strength of the company that's underlined here and gives us and leaves us all kinds of options in all directions. On page 7, you then get more the technical view. Why did insolvency develop? How? Well, on the 1st of January, there were several model changes and regulatory changes again, but taking into account these changes in risk capital and in equity, then you could see that the ratio was only influenced by 0.something. I thought it was more 0.0-something%, so a minimal change only. The increase that we've seen over the course of the year comes above all from the excellent earning flows, and market changes also had a positive effect because interest rates went up a bit. The stock markets are quite high right now, and the interest rates, well, yeah, France and Italy saw widening of the credit spread, but that didn't have that large an influence on the market in general, because there are also other market parameters that need to be taken into account. Amongst them, for example, volatility is currently on a very low level. So let me come to PNC, our PNC business, now on page 9. So 2.7% total growth, 1.7% of that internal or organic growth, and the lack in percentage points stems from some small acquisitions that we did last year in the Netherlands and in Morocco. You can see the individual countries the situation's quite good in Germany. Started quite good with 2% plus. France, a little weaker in growth than in the previous year, but we're still seeing very positive growth success in our global assistance business, and Australia and Spain are doing good on a sustainable basis. Latin America, here we can see recovery not just in revenues but also in profit, as I will show you in a minute, while in the U.K., the revenue development was flat, and the difference between internal growth and total growth of minus 10 percentage points, was due to currency exchange rate changes as the pound sterling went down. So the Brexit decision influenced the results year on year here. So the pound sterling figures therefore play a 10% smaller role in our balance sheet than in earlier times. But I mean, we're not that big in England and the U.K., so we're not affected that much by this development. Now, looking at the results in the P&C business, you can see that the combined ratio was 2.3 percentage points higher than in the previous year. And I'll talk about this now in more detail, because what comes into play here is the Ogden influence. So what is Ogden? Well, Ogden is the name of the chairman of a committee which sets the rules for the capitalization or the payment from insurance claims, both in motor insurance but also corporate accidents or third liability cases, so bodily insurance claims, bodily claims. And this interest rate used to be at 2.5% for quite some time. We thought it would go down to 1%, but then at the end of February the decision was taken by the British government committee to set that to minus 0.75%, and we were reserved for, well, just half of that. But with minus 0.75%, we hadn't expected that, so that cost us another 110 million euros in the first quarter, or 0.8 percentage points in the combined ratio. That's also the reason why our runoff result was with 2.8 lower than usual. If you included Ogden here, then it shows that the stability of reserves was proven again. Now, the macroeconomic area that gives me concern is this negative Ogden rating, because for the economists it means that the long-term expectations for England are that the real interest rates, that is to say earned interest rates minus inflation, will have a negative figure of minus 75 basis points for the next 20 years. And I think that's a terrible outlook for an economy. And I do hope that the economy in Britain won't experience that, because that would have would be a bad effect of the Brexit idea for the UK then. But coming back to our combined ratio, in addition to this one-off effect, we had a slightly higher number, or slightly higher payments for natural catastrophes. That was a major storm, Debbie, in Australia. And in addition to this, we had slightly more major claims, major losses all around the world. So taking this kind of volatility out, we think that our combined ratio is a tad better than in the previous year, so we're not concerned in any way about this for the remainder of the year. Coming out to the different countries on page 13, this is reflected, I think, to a large degree. We still have very good combined ratios in the individual countries. and you can once again see here in detail where we had weather effects, the major claims. It starts with Germany, where the winter froze more water pipes across the board than in previous years, and we had also more major claims. In France, in January and February, there was a number of smaller local storms which drove up the combined ratio, had a strong effect on that, but nevertheless, it's only worsened by 1 percentage point, which shows that the underlying business is doing very good. In Italy, extremely good combined ratio. Unfortunately, revenues still continue to drop because we still have lowering prices in motor insurance. Then AGCS was affected by some very large losses that led to the, including the worsening of the of a travel insurance and international health also, so that we did a lot to improve profitability. Credit insurance has remained strong. And Australia, we had the major storm Debbie, as I said before. Spain is doing very good on a very stable revenue and growth course. UK, well, the one-off effect that I already talked about. And Latin America, then, last but not least, the first positive operating result in many quarters, and the turnaround is really happening, and therefore when we look at the points we want to reach from a strategic point of view, we're well on track. Page 15, a positive surprise in P&C, because we hadn't expected in our plans that the interest rate income in the segment would be growing. We were assuming falling interest rate results, but we started the first quarter with a nice plus, which does not stem from the rating results, but also the underlying interest rates were up a bit, so a good start into the year. Now that brings me to the even more positive segments that are even more positive than P&C, and here look at life and health on page 17. We're aiming at a new business margin of 3% from a strategic point of view. That's our goal for 2018, and right now we are at 3.1%, so we've already reached this level. And also the mix of where we get our profit from, so from which product field in life insurance, is pretty close to what we want to reach as a strategic goal. So everything is running really smoothly in this regard. Growth is here very strong in life health in Germany, but also in Asia. We have excellent business, and also in Italy we see growth, and then some of the smaller markets. We've only lost volume in the United States because in some sales channels we have a certain degree of insecurity through the new regulations that were to be introduced at the beginning of April under the name DOL, because the Department of Labor is responsible for these rules. Now, Mr. Trump first postponed the introduction of those regulations, and the postponement without any clear change or without the knowledge of what might come out did not really help to reduce insecurities. But also in other channels, as we looked a lot at the profitability of products, we lost a little bit of our revenue push. April, May, however, looks quite different. Again, so the outlook for the year is really good. Now our results in Life Health on page 19, 1.155 billion operating profit, a very strong quarter therefore for us. And that stems from a mix of volume growth and the growth of the last years, then an improved investment margin, and what's also included in here are two technical effects in our U.S. business, especially the old variable annuity business. There we always have some degree of hedging to secure some guarantees to our customers, and this hedging is not full hedging, so there's always a loss or a profit from that. And in the first quarter, we had a good profit from that. And the other effect is that we also, from the last quarter, still had some corrections and the full acquisition costs, which brought us another 50 million profit that was missed last year, so that was kind of a correction. And looking at the individual parts on the right-hand side of the slide, you can see that basically all the products have good profit contributions. Also, the capital-efficient products, which are still strongly affected, because in the new business you have high acquisition costs, and get away from this because profitability that accounting shows is still lagging behind growth, but that's typical for the life insurance business. The profits come whenever growth stops and the other way around. So I think projecting this into the future with the new business margin we currently have, we are on a very positive development path for our profitability in the life business. On the next slide, slide 21, you can see the new business margin for the different countries and how the operating profit has developed in the different countries. And I think we can see a very good development across the board here, and the broad masses is taking the effect. If you look at Turkey with a strong minus in profit development, then this is, of course, due a lot to the change of the currency exchange rate of the Turkish lira compared to the euro. Other than that, the business in the country is developing quite well in spite of the difficult political situation. Page 23 shows that the guarantees we promise to our customers are really safe, and you can see here that the distance between the interest rates we get and the guaranteed interest rate is still on an unchanged and very high level, and that we still get very good reinvestment yields for our customers. That brings me to asset management, page 25. 40 billion plus in assets under management for third parties, and that is half from net inflows and market developments. PIMCO above all had a very strong quarter with more than 20 billion in third party net inflows, which continues seamlessly the story of the fourth quarter, where month on month we had seen strong increases, and with this continued in the first quarter, and we're also quite positive about the second quarter. So PIMCO truly is on a very good and positive development track, and this is also reflected on page 27. On page 27, you can see that we don't just have the inflows, the net inflows, but also the performance fees have grown in double-digit figures at PIMCO and also with Allianz Global Investors, so that the whole segment had 12% higher performance fees. Amongst the large asset managers in the world, that is a very strong result indeed. And so we're really well positioned in this segment, and that also leads to a strongly increased operating profit. Our operating profit is up 24% because on the one hand side, the performance fees and the revenues were higher and the costs were a little lower, as you can see, so that overall with 572 million euros, we had a very strong contribution to our results from the asset management segment. Now, our corporate segment, and these are the headquarter costs and the other smaller activities, like the three small banks, which we have in the Allianz Group. Slight improvements from the operating result of the banks, slightly better results from currency hedging, and little reduction of costs led to the fact that we had 30 million less in cost losses in our central segment here. So overall, on page 33, this then leads to a result of 2.9 billion operating results, and the non-operating result is then a negative figure because that includes the costs for external financing, and we don't have any extraordinary realized profits or gains in the first quarter, because last year, as you can see here in the third line, we had 568 million from realized gains. Those were blocks of shares which we sold in the first quarter of 2016 in order to benefit from excellent prices. So these are two one-off effects which you need to take out of the normal business development in general. I think the first quarter 2017 brought really normal figures, not too many one-off effects, so that the 1.8 billion in shareholders' net income truly are a very solid result. And that then brings me to page 35, the summary. Where do we stand looking at our renewal agenda and our ambitions for 2018? Well, the earnings per share growth is coming close to the 5%, and if we continue with our share buyback, we will continue to have good results in this area. Then the ROE is at 12.4%, so a little bit away still from the 13%. What doesn't help us in this regard is that we have a very strong balance sheet and too much equity, if you wish. Our combined ratio in the first quarter weakened a bit, but that is normal volatility we have in the insurance business, so nothing that should concern us or affect us too much. In life health, we are at 61% of the invested equity had an ROE over 10%, and if we add Italy and France to that, which are close to this threshold, we'd be at 85%, so we are on track. We see the right development. Then life health, the new business margin, here we've already reached a goal, and if we look at the more qualitative goals, I think we're well on the way to these goals. The net promoter score at 55% hasn't really come to the level of 75 that we want to reach. 75% means that 75% of our countries are above market average. That is what's meant here, above the market average in the insurance industry when it comes to customer satisfaction. That's our goal for 2018. Then the interest rate, dependency of our Solvency II ratio, the interest rate sensitivity, was a little higher than in the fourth quarter of 2016, which is due to model changes that always has some difficult effects, so that the figure doesn't just develop the way you hope it would from time to time. PIMCO, with its cost-income ratio and the current development of net inflows, is on a good course for success, and also the employee satisfaction and the work-life balance has always reached this. We want to reach a result of 72%. We are at 70%, but that's a year-end figure because we don't establish the IMIX figure on a quarterly basis, but with the 70%, we're well on the track. Then the share of newly launched digital products and all the new products and we've brought onto the market, we've now reached half of the figure. So digitalization is also making good progress in our company. And that brings me to the end of my short overview. And now I'm looking forward to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, now you're here listening to the telephone conference of Allianz SE on the occasion of the publication of the business results in the first quarter 2017. Dr. Wimmer speaking, and for your information, this conference is being tape recorded. We will start with the Q&A session now. If you would like to ask a question, please press asterisk and number 1 on your keypad. And make sure that your mute key is deactivated, that our signal can reach your devices. Please press asterisk 1 in order to ask a question. We will have our first question. Michael Flemig from Börsenzeitung, please. Yes, good morning, Mr. Wimmer. I have three questions I would like to raise. First of all, life insurance in Germany, then P&C in Latin America, and then about the reorganization expenses. First, for the health insurance in Germany, the plus of 20% is quite high. The quarterly information refers to one-off amounts, and please also explain why this business has gone up so strongly. So the earnings have gone down, but that seems to be a duck effect. And P&C Latin America, you also referred to the fact that you are making an operating result for the first time. Still, the combined ratio is relatively high with 105%, and at the same time, you're increasing the business. So internally calculated contributions have went up by 20%. Why do you have this confidence that you have, despite the combined ratio, that you still go forward? And then the reorganization measures since the first quarter to 2017 were much higher than the first quarter 2016. It is also shown in the quarterly announcement there was also a dissolution versus 2016, and that's why I would like to know whether any relevant reorganization measures in the first quarter 2017, and if so, where, please? Thank you very much, Mr. Flemig. Yes, I can answer these questions. Well, in fact, that's true. When I look at the profit development in Germany, last year in the first quarter 16, there was a true-up. That's what we call it for the actuarians. And that's the effect on the capitalized transaction costs, and this effect has not repeated. And apart from that, the German result is also being influenced by market movements in the interest rates, because what we do in order to protect the capital in terms of interest derivatives that we are buying, that also creates in a P&C, that also creates in profit and loss statement some volatility. In the first quarter 16, and then the interest went down. And then also from the interest rate derivatives, we also saw very nice and positive development. Interest rates are quite higher this year, but the movement was somewhat weaker. These are the volatilities that you unfortunately always have to calculate out of the life insurance. In Germany, in the one-off premium, we've seen a growth of roughly 10%, and in ongoing business, our growth is 2-3%. Well, our business was never reduced, in fact, but instead we strongly looked at our product generation and we pushed our new product generation, and now this was reflected in our distribution. That means traditional products are still being offered. However, in terms of volumes, these products are rather marginalized. Meanwhile, and with a new product, we don't worry that we would grow too strongly, whatever develops economically. We're not starting any particular promotion or sales incentives. I believe we are offering a good return to our customers and a safe balance sheet, and I think that's a very good combination. Your second question about Latin America, it's true, the combined ratio being 105, it's not where we would like to see it, but you have to see that in America, Latin America, Argentina and Brazil, interest income are in the two-digit amount considerably, because these are different worlds. That also means the combined ratio and the claims are much more driven by inflation, which is being compensated by high interest income. And that's why the European situation with the zero interest scenario cannot be fully compared or transferred to the South American scenario. 105% with 12% interest, you can also say, well, that coordinates to European 95% with zero interest. And insofar, this growth is justified. The growth also comes from price increases in order to reduce the combined ratio. That's why I would not call it speeding up, but it's rather part of a well-thought-through refurbishment plan. Reorganization, that's right. In the first quarter 2017, we booked more than 100 million, and that goes completely to the already known reorganization measures in our AGCS, and they've been published already. And now with this reorganization measure, AGCS intends to reduce the combined ratio by 2% in the next 2 years. And what about the dissolution? I can read from the exhibit, 76 million, that would be 180 million for the reorganization measures. Well, this cannot be, actually, no. Reorganization measures and expenditures to be dissolved, no. I can't remember that. Okay. So, probably, it has been combined with other effects on page 89, probably. Are you looking at our management report? No, so the page 39, restatement effect and property segment, and probably this other effect. No. Oh, yeah. We talked about two different topics. Now I know what you mean. The reorganization expenses was shifted from operating earnings into the non-operating earnings. Oh yeah, that's clear. Which is the 76 million, so to speak, is the shift effect coming from the first quarter. If we took that under non-operating result, if in net income last year, that would be zero, right? That's why I was going through the absolute figures and that we booked in the first quarter 2017. Oh yeah, we can still do this later on in just in life insurance, plus 10 and plus 2.3%, but you said totally it went up by 20%. Where does this growth come from? You can take from the Excel sheet that the growth 20% is German life insurance in first quarter 2017. No, to be honest, It says life health, German life in region, internal growth 19.8%. On this timeline in 2000, in page 17, it says Germany life plus 11.2%. 3.987, that would be the total cash value, and that is plus 11.2. Great, thanks. Please press asterisk one if you know in order to ask a question, just to remind you. So we have
Feel free to ask your question.
We'll now take a question from the English call from Alexander Hübner from Thomson Reuters.
This is Alexander Hübner from Reuters. I've got two questions on PIMCO and on your capital. On PIMCO, PIMCO shows a good recovery. Is this branch already where you want to have it, or how much progress can or should PIMCO make in the next future? You mentioned before that you say Allianz has too much capital on the balance sheet. So what's the consequence of that? Will you accelerate your share buyback program, or have you other plans to reduce it and have a positive impact on the ROE?
Thank you for the two questions. Well, first, I think indeed we are enjoying the success of PIMCO this quarter as we did last quarter. I think also they are on a good track for further progress. I think we have here to see that this is all organic operational progress, and certainly over the next years, there will be also more strategic progress to be delivered. Therefore, the outlook in total for PIMCO looks for me positive. We are at the moment enjoying every quarter the good news, and let's see what we can celebrate next quarter. On the capital, yes, we are capital long, and that offers us all opportunities, but we are not forced to do anything, because look, with 2.9 billion operating profit, that's a great start in the year. When I take out this one-off from Ogden, we would have had our first quarter with a 3 billion operating profit. So I think the company is really in a very good development, and we don't feel pressured to act fast, but indicating that we have a lot of flexibility.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star one.
Michael Flemish, do you have another question? I see your name in the queue. Oh, yeah, I'd like to take the opportunity to just quickly probe about P&C, where prices have increased relatively strongly in Germany. Would that be a trend you would see ongoing, or would you see an end of that trend, Mr. Wemmer? Well, yeah, we also see in Germany there's a slight increases in the claims cost, and not only talking as an insurer, but also what I find worrisome as a private person, that physical injuries and also fatal accidents on German roads are getting more. And actually, that's so difficult to explain, because you start to believe that cars become safer and safer because of the technology that is also developing. That also means, or that leads to the question, so if you visit the US and you're driving from the airport into the city by the by taxi, and you see the large billboards of distracted driving, those people who are also writing text messages, WhatsApp or whatever while driving, you know, that's a question that we would have to face in Europe and Germany as well. Does that also play a role in the development of the accident figures or not? And, I mean, that also affects us as well. It is not only related to insurance business, but it makes the risk on the road more uncalculable. This might mean that insurance premiums, if that is a trend, then they need to follow up upward. Yes, I understand that. Tom Sims from Reuters, please.
The world's largest bond fund, and which is now the income fund, which has taken over this title from the old total return fund. That is certainly one of the big sources of the inflows. And actually, when you look at the gross figures between inflows and outflows over the last 24 months, then at PIMCO never had low inflows. Only the outflows spoiled the net story. The outflows came down, the inflows continue to enjoy on a high level and even slightly growing. And that allowed us actually to continue the PIMCO success story. That is, I think, the main driver. But also, what is very important to attract fresh money is great performance of the funds. And all the PIMCO funds are really at a very positive return level. We have a very high outperform ratios for 12 months and 3 years at PIMCO, and that attracts people who want to get good return for their savings. Debbie in total is some 55 million around.
Thank you very much.
Wir haben Zeit für noch eine Frage, wenn eine im Raum ist. Ich sehe keine in der Warteschleife hier.
Question in the queue. There's no more question waiting. Press asterisk 1 in order to raise a question. So, Ivo, questions have been answered, and if we do not have any further questions, I would like to thank you cordially for taking part, and goodbye. Yes, goodbye, and have a nice weekend. Goodbye. Ladies and gentlemen, this closes today's conference. We thank you very much for your participation, and we wish you a pleasant day. Thank you.